For those of you listening to this episode, there is a video version on YouTube. Go to the @CathSportsRadio channel to see us doing the interview. That's C-A-T-H, @CathSportsRadio. Coming up on today's show...
I knew it was my ACL right away. My teammate, even 30 yards away from me, said that she heard the pop of it too. So very gruesome. I went down and the first thing I said as soon as I hit the ground was just, "Dear Lord, like, why?"
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of the show comes out. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group featuring past guests from this show and members of the Catholic Sports Radio community. The quick way to find that is the white button on the homepage of the website just below my picture. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. 3 years from now, Major League Baseball's athletics will be well into their first season in Las Vegas. After decades of calling Oakland home, they are currently in year one of three playing in Sacramento as a temporary home until the new stadium is built for them to permanently relocate to what I have affectionately referred to as the real city that never sleeps. It was interesting to see the Oklahoma City Thunder win the NBA championship last month and think about the fact that they are the team formerly known as the Seattle Supersonics. When NFL teams go and play quote-unquote home games in London or some other international location, it makes fans feel detached from the team they give so much loyalty to. These examples that I'm citing, especially it not being uncommon for a major pro sports franchise to relocate, remind us why our favorite sports team cannot be our number one priority in life. The sad reality is they won't always be there for you, even if that just means, for example, not always making the playoffs or something a little more unnerving, the face of the franchise being traded or allowed to leave in free agency. Take comfort in your faith life that Jesus is always there for you. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25 say, quote, "But he, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is going to be playing for the U.S. Women's National Lacrosse Team. She is fresh off the second of back-to-back national championships with the University of Tampa Women's Lacrosse Team, finishing 2025 with 40 goals and 10 assists for 50 points in just 14 games, including 2 goals in the national championship game. In 2024, she was named the most outstanding player of both the NCAA Championship and the Sunshine State Conference Tournament. Before her 3 years with the Spartans, she started her collegiate career playing at the University of Maryland, where the team won the 2022 Big Ten Tournament. That followed a high school career where she was all-county in lacrosse, volleyball, and basketball. She has also served as the head coach of Calvary Christian Girls Lacrosse. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sophie Risk.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming and doing this.
Absolutely.
It's cool to people get to see you doing this. It's weird for me.
Yeah.
People get to see me do it. So it's standard operating procedure that we start off by having the guest tell us, where were you born and raised and what was the family size?
So I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and I have a brother and a sister, and then my two parents, and then I'm the youngest.
Okay, and are you a cradle Catholic? What did the faith life look like in the Risk household when you were growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. We all grew up going to private schools our whole life and just practicing our faith constantly and just throughout our day and throughout our lives.
Is this one of those cases of a lot of guests will come on the show and say, my parents were devout Catholics, their parents were devout Catholics?
Yep.
Is it kind of the whole family tree?
Yes, absolutely. And we all followed their footsteps.
So as if all your lacrosse accomplishments aren't enough, my gosh, all county in lacrosse, volleyball, and basketball when you were in high school. When and how did you first start getting into sports? What age, maybe who influenced you?
Just growing up, ever since the beginning, both my parents played sports growing up, and then both of my siblings did. So I followed their footsteps, followed my dad and my brother. I played lacrosse, picked up my first stick at 3 years old, and just never put it down. Absolutely fell in love with it. And then my mom was a basketball player, so was my sister. So then I picked up basketball. And then volleyball was just a random thing that I started playing and just fell in love with as well.
I was going to say, it's a random thing that you started playing, and yet you end up being all county.
Yeah, right.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. I think you were all academic, all 4 years of high school, all three sports.
Yes.
Do I have that right?
Yes.
So somewhere along the way, your parents were putting not only a priority on faith, but mm-hmm. a priority on, it's great that you're doing all these athletics, but we got to see the grades.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Always.
Was that tough though, from a very early age to say, but it's sports, mom and dad, like, I just want to have fun. Like the homework can wait.
Yeah, I definitely went through those moments where I kind of bickered with them a little bit. But I knew at the end of the day that I wasn't going to get anywhere with my sports if I didn't have the grades at first. So that was always kind of, they put a strong head on my shoulders and knew that I had to grind, you know, academically and with sports.
So because you were playing three different sports in high school, at what point did you kind of feel like you're being pulled, like lacrosse was going to be the one?
I was actually before that. So in eighth grade, I committed to the University of Maryland to play lacrosse. So before I even got to the whole kind of drama aspect of high school, I feel I was very lucky to have committed early. And then about October of my freshman year of high school, they created a rule where you can no longer commit to college and have that full conversation with college coaches until, I believe it's September 1st of your junior year. So I got it knocked out before and was kind of ready to go and was all set.
Did they jokingly refer to it as the Sophie Risk rule? So what were you doing lacrosse-wise that in eighth grade, the University of Maryland already knew, we got to make sure she ends up here? Playing what type of organized lacrosse?
Yeah, so I was playing rec lacrosse when I was younger, and then I started playing club lacrosse in probably about fifth grade. So kind of getting myself out there, getting myself in front of coaches. I was also very blessed with the coaches that I had growing up who they did play for Maryland at some point in their lives. So that kind of also gave me a little bit of a connection towards them. And Maryland was the best. So I knew I always wanted to go there. That was my dream school. Like, never thought I'd get there, but I wanted it. So I just spent, you know, all of my time after, you know, go to class, get home, do my homework, get that done. And then I was outside practicing even before club or even after club practice.
Wow.
And just putting in any extra time to just get myself to be the best.
Yeah, so even though you ended up playing basketball and volleyball, mm-hmm. lacrosse already had your heart.
Yes. Yes,
wow.
100%.
Wow. So cool. So cool. Yep. You were team captain of your high school team in 2020. And then in 2021, you redshirted at University of Maryland, a great D1 lacrosse school. As the audience can guess by the years that I just mentioned, that was during the pandemic. So tell us about the impact on you emotionally and spiritually trying to navigate that.
It was really hard, especially, you know, missing my senior season of lacrosse. I got to perform my, you know, senior games and everything for volleyball and basketball, which was great. And then knowing that I couldn't do that with my one, like, true love of being lacrosse was very hard on me. And then not getting to see my friends when we were all, you know, dispersing, going our own ways.
Mm.
It really, you know, put a lot on my mental space and my mental health. Luckily, you know, my family and my faith was there for me and, you know, obviously are still there for me. But without, you know, my family, my faith, I wouldn't have been able to get through that part of, like, just having everything seemed like it ripped away from me all at once.
So explain the redshirt freshman year. Were they actually playing games, or were they still at a point where there wasn't any organized sports that were allowed to play then?
Yeah, it was different. Our fall was very weird. We got there and, you know, you're so excited for your first year of college and, you know, everyone has to be separated. We could only have like 10 girls at practice. We all had to go in shifts. So didn't really get that full freshman year experience. We didn't even really play any fall ball games, maybe like two, when usually you're playing about eight, I would say. So it was definitely weird coming into it. And then by the time we got into regular season, we were back to normal, you know, playing games and having the normal schedule. Just wasn't, the fall wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. So I believe you just turned 23 years old at the end of last month, yet you've already faced a good deal of adversity in your young life. Not only what you just talked about going through COVID times, but there was also a transfer that took place, meaning going from University of Maryland to the University of Tampa. What was happening then that was the impetus for the transfer? How prayerful were you about it all? And then talk to about the huge change of having spent your whole life up to that point in Maryland and instead going 800 miles away to here in West Central Florida.
It was a very big decision in my life. It was very hard. I really did enjoy my time at Maryland. I met a great group of people, made some great memories. I wouldn't change any of it for the world. The only struggle that I really had was with my coaches. We butted heads, I guess, is the easiest way to put it, which I am very grateful. They gave me that chance to get there and let me live out my dreams. However, it didn't work out due to our relationship that we had. So I called Kathy Reese, the head coach, and I was like, I'm going to go in the portal. I'm going to leave. And she was like, are you sure? Like, are you sure this is what you want? Like, you can't come back after, whatever. And I was like, no, I know. But it was just a really hard time for me. My end of sophomore year there, I thought about quitting lacrosse almost and just completely dropping it all. Whoa. I just could really, I was not, you know, in a very good space with everything that was occurring. So I had a very hard time, took a lot of prayer and took a lot of faith in me just to be like, I have to stick it out, just do it. You know, like, even though this is my dream school and all that I've had, you know, my entire life, you know, there is someplace else for me. And I just have to put my faith in God that he's going to lead me to, you know, the better place for me. So did that and got in touch with Kelly Gallagher here at Tampa. And luckily they wanted me and would take me onto the team. So that's kind of how that went, which was very, I think it's a weird time because a lot of people don't know that I wanted to like quit lacrosse at one point, which is crazy to think about now. So
amazing. And audience, as you heard, talk about being led to the promised land, go from almost being ready to quit the sport to what the Lord had for you on the other side, which was back-to-back national championships. Just amazing. Just amazing. Friends, I wish I could say that that's the end of the adversity that Sophie has had to face, but this past season, she suffered a gruesome injury and then came back to play only to get re-injured. So there's dealing with all that that I'm going to want to have her talk about. But first, do please remember, with Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you can manage your money from your phone anytime, anywhere. Their mobile app allows you to add accounts, move money as needed, and deposit checks. You can pay others with Zelle and use Apple Pay or Google Pay to securely make payments on the go. Safe, secure, Catholic. Can your bank say that? Visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. Federally insured by NCUA. And be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Before I ask before I ask two-time national champion Sophie Risk about the physical challenges that she had to overcome en route to a second straight national championship, let me update you on some bad news of my own, and hopefully there will be a victorious comeback story on this, like we're going to hear in just a minute from Sophie. Over the last, gosh, I don't know how many, at least three now weeks, you have heard me give specific examples of bills that I am being hit with in operating my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. The streak unfortunately continues, and man, not only did this come out of nowhere, but it packed quite a punch. The email marketing service that I use for the weekly e-newsletter just charged my credit card $270 for the annual renewal. Ouch. I have to say that I was really blindsided by that in more ways than one. For those of you who might be new to Catholic Sports Radio, this is neither my full nor my part-time job, and I don't get any income from doing this, which makes it all the more challenging to face these bills that come in. My prayer is that you see value in what I'm doing each week. You like the show, you believe in this ministry, it's helping your faith life, and you wish to show your support. I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing to help keep my eye on the Lord and serving the Catholic community. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, you can utilize the blue Donate to CSR button. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can get in touch with me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have directed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Sophie, I hate to make you relive something that I'm sure you try to forget about, but share with the audience about what you had to go through, not once, but twice this season, injury-wise, because I know that the first time you went down, you say that you actually cried out to God as you went down to the field.
Yeah, it was a very traumatizing experience. Honestly, it's something that I never really thought would happen. I thought I was so lucky. I was, you know, just at the tail end of my 19th year playing lacrosse, and unfortunately, you know, went down, and I knew it was my ACL right away. My teammate, even 30 yards away from me, said that she heard the pop of it too. So very gruesome. I went down, and exactly like what you just said, the first thing I said as soon as I hit the ground was just, "Dear Lord, like, why? Just like, please, why? Like, this is not happening. Like, give me a sign that it's not this. Like, let this all just be a crazy dream. Like, there's no way that this is actually occurring." It was very, very hard, very tough. And that entire day, and I mean, continued on, but especially that day, just almost like questioning like why this was occurring and why it was happening to me, and just the amount of excruciating pain I was feeling was just so unbearable and so hard to deal with. And then eventually, as the day went on, you know, it turned to just, you know, praying and being like, "All right, Lord, you know, you had a plan. This was meant to happen. This is what you have, you know, written down for me. So I just have to keep chugging along and, you know, just have faith in you." And then the second time I went down, not sure what it is, but probably my meniscus is what I ended up tearing. So dealing with that again, and it's so annoying because I felt so great that game. Like, I felt so good. You know, I was working so hard with rehabbing and everything just to get back to feel as normal as I could with the torn ACL. And then just that game, got hit, went down the wrong way, and unfortunately probably messed up something else. And, you know, went out, was praying to God on the sideline once again, just please, please let me finish it. I mean, that could have been our last game if we lost. So I was like, just let me finish out at least my last game. Just please let me do it. Mm-hmm. And then thankfully he gave me the strength and the courage to get back out there and finish out the game, and thankfully the rest of the season.
And you're also being humble, because the first injury was very devastating, and yes, you missed several games, and you came back and had this huge, I mean, it was so easy to pick you out on the field because you had this huge brace on your leg, and lo and behold, despite having the brace on your leg, there you are getting re-injured, and as you said, you must have thought, why me? Yeah. Why is this happening to me? And you scored a goal in the process of getting re-injured, and it was so anticlimactic because there you are on the field knowing that you're hurt again.
Yeah. It was just truly devastating to go through and just to, like, see that happen. But once again, you know, I think, you know, God gives his, you know, toughest battles to, you know, those that he knows can handle it. So I think it was almost like God picking me out personally to be like, you know what, I'm going to give you this, and, like, this is going to happen. But in the end, you're going to, you know, turn out triumphant, and you're going to finish through it, and it's all going to work out in my favor. And thankfully, honestly, like, it's giving me chances like this to go on podcasts and, you know, share about my journey and share how, like, the Lord really gave me the strength and the courage to push through it. And hopefully, you know, it gives others the same.
Well, and overcoming all the adversity, right, of the things that we've talked about. I know you even lost a grandfather 3 years ago. So In the midst of all this, the COVID thing, the butting heads with the coach at Maryland, losing your grandfather, transferring, oh my gosh, now I'm on my own. I don't have my family right here behind me. Now I'm getting injured. Mm-hmm. It just seems like you have been such an inspiration for people to see. You just got to rally. You just got to come back. You can't give up because you're going to give up on your dreams. And I guess an argument could be made that that's what Satan wants, is for us to doubt and to get down and Right. be dejected and maybe turn our back on God and go, where were you? This is my senior year. Is my last game. Right. I scored a goal and I get hurt. And so I'm taking my hat off to you. I'm going a long way to say it's a very inspirational story Thank that you. You've fought back every time something's been thrown your way to say, well, I'm going to find a way around it, whether it's the brace, whether it's transferring schools. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hats off to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Let's shift over to your coaching at Calvary Christian. How did that come to be? Did the school put any conditions on it, meaning we do require you to spend time in prayer before, after practice and games with the athletes? And also, how did it make you feel being the head coach at a young age?
It was kind of a whirlwind of everything, you know, going still in school and then, you know, competing in my own season. And then one of the girls that I coached club for, she texted me. She was like, our coach isn't going to be here this season. Like, she was having a kid. So she was like, I think you should reach out. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, it worked out that I ended up becoming the head coach. I was supposed to only be the assistant, but they were like, I think you should really, like, be our head coach. Like, it'll be great. Wow. So luckily the AD and, you know, the whole school just had my back and trusted me to do that. So that was great. Also, just out of school, like Calvary, where they do prioritize prayer and like devoting your time to that. So once a week we had our, we called them devos, but our devotionals on Wednesday where we had a faculty member or a priest or someone would come out and they would lead us through prayer and just different exercises to share and grow in our faith as a team. Was awesome to have that, because even when I was going to private school, yes, we went to church, you know, once a week, but we didn't really focus it when it came to sports. Mm. So having that balance of, you know, sports and practice and then also prayer was amazing. And then we closed out every practice with a prayer. Mm. At the end of every game, we would ask the other team if they would come join us and we would pray with them. And it's just truly such a moving experience to have that, especially as, you know, a young woman to see that, like, now that I can encourage these young girls who are going to be taking that next step, like, into college in their life, and just see how much, like, growing in your faith just grows you as a person tremendously.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. I can see the Christian heart that you have, because I saw on LinkedIn that you have spent time coaching and volunteering for inner city youth lacrosse teams. Where and when was this? What all did that entail, and what moved you to get involved that way?
So this was a little bit in high school, mainly my freshman, sophomore year at Maryland, just being close to home and being able to go to the inner cities and like going to Baltimore mainly and just going out there. And I played for a team called Nation United, and we really, as a group, focused on, yes, playing lacrosse, but also giving back to those who, you know, don't have a lot and don't have, you know, enough money to even go buy a stick. So we would do a lot of community service through that team and going to events like that and helping, you know, share our love for the sport with these kids. And then I also got involved with Charm City, who runs these inner city groups. And again, just again, coaching them, teaching our love for the game for kids of all ages, you know, kids that, you know, again, don't really have the opportunity to just go grab a stick and go in the backyard because it's not there for them. Yeah. So that was something that I really loved doing, because obviously, as long as I've been playing the sport, I want to share that with everyone. Yeah. I want everyone else to fall in love with it the way I did. So having the opportunity to give back to kids who don't have that chance as easily as I did just meant the world to me, and that's all I wanted to do.
Fantastic, fantastic. I can tell the joy, the natural joy that you're saying that with. The way that I first detected that you were Catholic was seeing you standing out on the field before a University of Tampa lacrosse game, and as the national anthem finished, you made the sign of the cross. Was there any uneasiness in making the decision to do that, thinking, what might my teammates think if they see that? Or is it something that you've just always done before games, maybe as far back as high school?
I don't really know when I start doing it. I think I mainly start it when I got to college, is when I fully just, you know, I do it at the end of every national anthem. I usually do it in the middle of games sometimes, but definitely at the end of the national anthem, just, you know, praying that, you know, I'm having a good game, that everyone on the field stays safe, you know, especially our team, and that, you know, we can just do our best with the talent and the abilities that God has given us. But my dad has coached me in lacrosse. He was my first ever coach, coached me through high school. And my dad is, you know, very big in our faith. So him growing up, he always said, like, oh, when I was in high school, he went to a public high school. He was like, even when I was there, you know, I gathered my team and I had us pray before games. He was like, I think that's something that you should, you know, take with you as you get into college and everything, that even though, you know, it's not a Catholic school necessarily, but you should enjoy that moment of having your teammates pray. So I did it on my own by myself. And then ever since I got injured, I would have teammates come up to me, tell me that they're praying for me, or they've been praying with my mother or anything. And then when it got to the national championship and the Final Four, I grabbed some of my teammates and we would go pray in the hallway. Those who I knew that, you know, would enjoy doing that, we went out and we would take that time to just pray with each other and just pray over each other, especially in, you know, our last season, in such a big moment, and just be so thankful for everything that we've had and everything that we've earned.
I love it. I love it. I want to finish on a high note with two terrific highlights. First is for you to share with us about last year. I'm talking about 2024, the final seconds ticking off the clock, becoming a national champion, not to mention being named most outstanding player of the NCAA championship. But then secondly, I'll also have you talk about this opportunity that you currently have in front of you to go play for the U.S. women's national team, including what that might mean come 2028 when lacrosse will be an Olympic sport at the Games in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing to be offered to go do, and I'm so, you know, blessed and honored to have been given the chance, the opportunity to go play for such a high-level group and with a high-level group of girls. So I'm really excited about the opportunity.
Let me interrupt you. I want you to give the audience a timeline here, because that's soon, and then also I should have asked when you were talking about the injury, so we can all be praying for you. There is a surgery date, yes?
Yes, August 29th.
Okay, August 29th, audience, let's all be praying for Sophie. Yes, clearly thanks. In the lead-up to, but especially on that day and then afterwards for her recovery. And so this U.S. Women's National Team, you're going to be going to play for them really soon.
Yes, July 21st through 31st in the U.K., 10 days, about 5 games. I'm so excited.
So cool. I would say, after all the adversity that we've talked about, it's about time. So 2024, 2025, back-to-back NCAA championships, and now this opportunity. But take us back to 2024. The clock is ticking down. You know that you're about to be a national champion.
Just so insane. It's, you know, reaching the mountaintop for me that I've always dreamt of. And, you know, it's like every little thing of hard work has finally paid off. All those late hours of practicing on my own, or all the adversity that I've went through of transferring, whatever it was, I finally got there. I finally got to do it with a group that, you know, I truly get to call a family. And it is just such a surreal moment of being like, wait, what? Like, we actually did it? Like, we actually won? It was just so crazy to have. And then being named the most outstanding player was, I was in such disbelief. One of the camera guys came over to me and had the camera on me as they're announcing. I'm like, why is it on me? Like, there's so many people that this was well-deserved for. But I was just, you know, so blessed and honored to have, you know, won that title just of MVP, but then also winning the title of national championship is just so surreal.
I wish we had a way to get some footage, but for those who can access it somewhere online, I've always admired that Sophie is a great outside shooter, which we don't see a lot of in the women's game. Everything is very in close. All the goals, all the actions right in front of the net. And you just have this cannon that I feel like has kind of become your signature, because you do catch the defense and the goaltender off guard because you're not afraid to shoot from outside. And I feel like that's kind of a, like we said before, is that the Sophie Risk rule. I think there was a game where somebody else scored a goal, and in my head I thought that's a Sophie Risk kind of goal, because I feel like you're the one. Was there something in your career at some point where you decided, like, hey, I'm going to develop this? Why isn't everybody doing this?
Yeah, I think it was definitely my growing up watching my brother play. Mm. I mean, he's 5 years older than me. So when I was really, you know, honing in on my craft and everything, I was always outside with my brother, and he was always, you know, just ripping it, because he obviously is playing men's lacrosse, so that's all they did. So I was like, okay, like, let me be like him. Like, I want to be like my brother. And then even with my dad coaching me, like, he'd always be like, oh, just, like, rip it from the outside. I'm like, okay, like, sure, why not? So
cool.
Just kind of grew up doing it. And then
so
by
cool.
the time I got to college, just, you know, was my thing, was my go-to.
Awesome. What a fun way to end. Congratulations on the back-to-back
Thank
championships.
You.
Congratulations, the U.S. Women's National Team. That's going to be a thrill, I know.
Yes.
It's wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, we're going to close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. So let's pray that together right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening or watching. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.